Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race. If we believe there's even a 1% chance that he is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty.
The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world. God versus man. Day versus night.
You're psychotic.
It's a three-syllable word for any thought too big for little minds.
I've known a few women like you.
No, I don't think you've ever known a woman like me.
Can be innocent.
Well, that's the trailer for the movie Batman versus Superman. I will warn you at the outset here that as we review this movie with Pastor Ted Giese, there's a good chance we would spoil it for you. If you want to go see the movie and listen to the review afterwards, feel free to do so as well. We're going to be reviewing the movie Batman versus Superman. I wonder, because these are supposed to be, they're two different characters. Superman, someone from another planet with apparently godlike powers. Batman, a dark, troubled soul with apparently endless reserves of money and better suits and toys. Well, why are they fighting each other? Even if only briefly. They're supposed to be good guys. I wonder if they'd make movies like this if we weren't such a thoroughly postmodern, no good, no evil society. We'll get an answer to that question here in the first few minutes. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We are coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese will review the movie Batman versus Superman. Then we're going to get our update on the November elections with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. You can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review the movie Batman versus Superman. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay, I got to wonder, because I'm coming at this as a complete outsider. I've seen the Batman movies and a couple of the Superman movies. I think I saw the last one, Man of Steel, if I'm not mistaken. These are supposed to be two good guys, right? And I'm wondering if this isn't just kind of a dip into the pool of postmodernism. No good, no evil, they're going to battle each other. Is that the kind of thing we're in for with Batman versus Superman?
Not exactly. One thing that struck me about the Man of Steel movie was the scope and scale of it. It was a very big movie in terms of especially the level of disaster and destruction at the end of the movie, just like the carnage that swept through Metropolis. This movie, embraces this gigantic scale. So what you have within the movie itself is competing worldviews. So it's not that the movie overall is something that's just entirely postmodern and there's no good or no evil. There is clearly, and truth is only what you make of it, there's clearly a Christian milieu that this is set in, overall through the whole entire film. And within that, there are competing worldviews. So one of the competing worldviews is that of the main villain in it, Lex Luthor, who is an angry atheist. But like a Richard Dawkins type of character, the god that he hates is the Christian god. So that's part of it. But he's got his own separate worldview from the other characters. In terms of Batman and Superman, these two characters that people know from previous movies, together they're, you know, together again for the first time ever in this movie kind of a deal. Although lots of comic book movies, like cartoon movies of Justice League and things like that have existed in the past, and TV programs and et cetera like that. But here in this big, huge movie writ large on the screen, you get these characters together. And one of the things at the end of Man of Steel that really bothered me was how Superman didn't seem to be the way I knew Superman to be. You know, he killed General Zod by breaking his neck, this opposing Kryptonian villain from outer space, and just kind of allows a level of destruction that I'd never seen in a Superman movie before. And that unsettled me and bothered me as I left. Interestingly, the character of Bruce Wayne inside this movie, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, he is unsettled by that too. So you have this kind of man on the street witnessing of the carnage that happened at the end of the Man of Steel movie, with imagery that's reminiscent of 9/11, which is something that I thought of as I watched Man of Steel. And now you're seeing that through the eyes of Bruce Wayne. And the question is, should I trust this Superman character? And that is the heart of the antagonism between these two characters to start with. So both of them have reason to mistrust the other one. And through the course of the movie, that changes for them, and kind of in a really weird way in some ways. It kind of all happens very quick, the switchover, and we can talk about that too. But they have reasons to mistrust each other. Batman, like Bruce Wayne's reason is that this guy's got all this power and people are treating him like a god, but is he like that? Is he really that good? And then Clark Kent, as the journalist, is worried about Batman because Batman has been doing his thing for 20 years, and he's this vigilante who seems to have become spiteful and cruel in his older age. And now they come to a header, mostly because strings are being pulled by Lex Luthor. That's, in a way, that's most of the story. And then you add into that Lex Luthor then uses some alien technology to create a massive supervillain that they have to fight at the end. And in the midst of all of this, other superheroes are kind of being revealed or they're emerging. So Wonder Woman shows up in the middle of everything. So in this battle between Superman and Batman, who wins? Probably Wonder Woman, because her arrival on the scene is quite dramatic and well accomplished. So, and there's going to be a Wonder Woman movie coming out too. But that's all kind of what happens. And then the major spoiler, and we talked about spoilers, is that in the end, Superman dies, and it ends with his funeral. So, and then a little tiny hint that perhaps he's going to come back. And every comic book fan who's been following this has seen this actual storyline play out. It played out in the early 90s about the death of Superman and then him coming back.
That guess raises a question. Is it hardly a coincidence then with that kind of ending of this movie that it came out at the time it came out?
I think that there's zero coincidence that that's a coincidence. I think that that is totally marketing and planned that way. And the reason why I'm going to say that is because, and I mentioned this in the review, is that the previous movie, this Man of Steel movie, came out on Father's Day weekend back when it came out. And it's a movie about fathers and sons. particularly, you know, Superman with his adoptive father, you know, played by Kevin Costner, and then his Kryptonian father, played by Russell Crowe. And at the time, there were websites, and you can still go to them. There's a link in the review. You can go check it out if you didn't check it out before. Listeners can check it out. There was a whole website on how pastors should preach sermons that make a one-to-one comparison between Superman and Jesus. To me, it's the craziest thing. But apparently, and this is stuff that happened back when that movie came out. So I couldn't find a website quite like that for this one. So it seems like they've taken a bit of a step back from that, except for the fact that I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, because they did put this on during Holy Week, like over the Easter weekend. It's pretty hard to think that this is completely an accident. And it is like the death of Superman and the hint at the very end that he's going to rise up again and fight another day, which, of course, comic book fans will have experienced in the early 90s and kind of know is coming. But, yeah, not an accident. The thing in the middle of all of this, then, is this question, you know, is this Superman really somebody to put your faith, hope, and trust in? And like, there's a giant statue of him, and at one point it's spray-painted on the front of his chest, "False Idol." And that's a question that he himself, like the Superman character, has to come to terms with, too, because he failed so poorly at the end of the first movie. So he's dealing with his personal failure and his kind of like the expectations that he has placed on him. It's an interesting thing. He's dealing with his own faith in himself and his place in the world and all of that as well.
One of the critics don't like this movie. I think that's safe to say. And I don't know why, all the reasons why they don't like it. Although the fans seem to be liking it given the box office. But one of the critiques I saw was that, look, obviously Batman is this kind of dark, gritty character that, and that's part of the persona. That's part of the storyline there. But does every action superhero movie now have to be dark, morose, brooding, and gritty? Because a lot of them do seem to be that way.
It is interesting, and there's, like, you can find articles about this where that for DC, like the DC comic book world, which you know, Batman and Superman exist in, there's kind of this no joke policy. Like, they don't want a lot of humor. The only person in this movie, the only character in the movie that cracks jokes is Alfred, the butler for Bruce Wayne, played by Jeremy Irons. And it's very clear that the only person who's hearing those jokes is Alfred himself, because Bruce Wayne is completely ignoring them. So he's cracking jokes to himself, maybe to the audience, I don't know, but they're not exactly meant to be funny. They're kind of deeply ironic and sad. So they're not, this is not a bright, cheerful movie. Now, interestingly, you may think to yourself that most of these superhero movies are kind of dark, but when you put the DC movies, DC comic book world movies, next to the Marvel ones, it is actually kind of a stark contrast. The Marvel ones have quite a bit of humor. You have movies like Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy, and even wisecracking characters like Iron Man in the Avengers movies, and jokes amongst them, and even the color palette is lighter and brighter and less morose. The scale and scope of it is actually in some ways smaller, it seems like, maybe a little more, you know, in retrospect, a little more claustrophobic, even with some of these big set pieces. But I think that when people go and see the new Captain America movie, Civil War, which has elements in it, you know, like, again, like, it's kind of interesting. You got Captain America and Iron Man fighting with each other, and here we just had a movie with Superman and Batman fighting with each other. I think that movie is still going to be brighter, certainly a brighter color palette. And I think there's going to be more joking and more humor, and it's going to be more lighthearted compared to this. Because it is right. This is dark. It's brooding. It's big. It's asking large questions. And it's also kind of this slow, plodding, deliberate, leisurely plot. Like, it's not moving anywhere super fast. Even when you get to the final fight in this, like the big final fight in this movie, the fight itself is rather protracted and long and just as plodding and deliberate and leisurely as the rest of the film.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We'll take a break and have a few more minutes with him on the other side of the break, reviewing the movie Batman vs. Superman. Again, spoiler alert to those who don't want to have the plot spoiled. We are discussing the plot, so if you want to watch the movie and then come back for the review, feel free to do so. Then we're going to talk about the November elections with Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and the Federalist. Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie Batman vs. Superman. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest on this Thursday afternoon. Ted, let's talk a little bit about the villain here, played by Jesse Eisenberg, Lex Luthor. He's a standard of the Superman movies. He's kind of your standard. I guess it's safe to say he is really kind of the nemesis in the comic books of Superman. But you said he's got a angry atheism about him. Go into a little more detail there, if you would.
Yeah, at one point he talks about how he says God is tribal, God takes sides. If God is all-powerful, he cannot be good. If he is good, he cannot be all-powerful. So this is kind of a personalization of the why is there suffering and evil in the world if God is good and powerful and all-powerful. So he's got an axe to grind against God. Essentially what he does is he takes the thing that's closest, nearest to that he can grab, which is Superman, and he throws all of his spitefulness against that, against Superman, and that's what he's lashing out at. But really, behind all of that, he's lashing out at God. And he's definitely comes across as having, you know, this atheist bent. And it goes back to the character. It goes back to him allegedly being, like, abused by his father. And And the inference there is that God didn't answer his prayers of deliverance in the midst of that. And that kind of made him, set him on the path towards being the villain that he is now. Of course, you know, like we know from like Psalm 50, where the psalmist says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you will honor me, that, you know, we're asked to pray to God. And in the midst of this whole movie, you get in the peripheral all of this stuff about prayer. So you have people crossing themselves, remembering their baptism. You have them audibly praying in times of distress, you know, as doom is like falling upon them and they're about to die, asking God for help. So this is part of that Christian milieu that I was talking about. So here you have this guy in the heart of it who has asked God for help and didn't get the help he thought he should get and now hates God. And, you know, in the midst of all of that is the angry atheist not believing in God anymore but lashing out now at this Superman character. So I think that's kind of an interesting thing to have that plunked into the movie itself. And I don't know, maybe it's on my mind because this, on April Fool's Day, God's Not Dead 2 is being released. And I'd seen God's Not Dead, the first one. We didn't do a review of it, but probably that'll come up. Maybe we can talk about God's Not Dead next week.
Okay, so next week we're going to be looking at God's Not Dead 2, as you just mentioned. And just give us a little kind of primer on, since we didn't talk about the first one, what we're going to be talking about next time.
Well, in essence, the first one was, and a lot of listeners may have seen it, even though they maybe didn't want to see it, I don't know, but it was about a student in a philosophy class who was told that they had to deny God in order to get a passing grade, and they refused to do that. And the through the course of the film, Kevin Sorbo, who is the professor, is exposed to be an angry atheist who is angry at God, and that's why he has claims his atheism. The whole movie is kind of a strange straw man. It's hard to say exactly who the audience is. It certainly isn't people who are on the fence about faith or are, you know, in need of apologetically being brought into the Christian faith or having it defended to them. It seems like it's a, you know, quote-unquote preaching to the choir kind of movie, and a particular kind of choir. This is the evangelical world's corner of the choir loft, and doesn't really fit with the way Lutherans would look at things. Particularly, ending the movie was quite bizarre, where the it all kind of works in such a way that the angry atheist gets hit by a car being driven by a pastor, and then he says the kind of the sinner's prayer as he's dying, and then they all go to a Newsboys concert. So what this new movie is going to be like, it kind of takes it up a level to being a court case in an actual court, and it's, you know, we'll see how it plays out, and we'll talk about more of it next week.
Folks, you can read Ted Giese's review of Batman vs. Superman at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, it's always a pleasure, and we'll talk with you next week.
Great. Thank you.